Accession number 28676, Mr. Jack Ball, Reel 4. Now, you mentioned that the war was declared.
The American War.
The American War. Yeah. In other words, the American-Japanese War, in essence. What impact did that have on you when you, that's Pearl Harbor and the rest of it?
Well, there was great panic out there in the headlines. I mean, it didn't affect Winnipeg, I don't think, but the headlines were sort of Japanese submarines off the West Coast and all that sort of thing. And I think they had a bit of false alarms down there. It brought the Americans into the war, which, was a great thing from our point of view.
So you were pleased?
Yeah, I was very pleased.
Now, where did you go next then?
I was posted to Mount Hope, where it was in Ontario. That's an air navigation school.
That's number 33, air navigation school. And you arrived there, well, you start flying December the 20th, so December.
Yeah, I did a... one flight for experience, I think, and just to show me the ropes. And then I was allotted a airman as a wireless operator. He was WT, that was wireless telegraphy, so he was on a key, and basically he was just a safety factor. They were, whatever happened, to get back to base, hopefully.
What were the air navigation exercises like?
Well, I didn't have to do them. I just
flew them.
I just flew them, and
so you were fundamentally just
a driver,
a pilot.
Just a driver, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you enjoy this sort of flying?
Well, it was a sort of living, if you know what I mean. I mean, everybody else had gone back to... Well, I had six companions posted with me, or five companions posted with me. And we arrived there in deep snow, as I recall. And just about Christmas time.
Any celebrations?
Yes, I think there were the usual celebrations. I was in a sergeant's mess, so that I think the officers came and served Christmas lunch or something.
Now, what was this? You'd been promoted. Well, I don't know when you got promoted.
I got promoted on the day that I graduated as a sergeant pilot.
And what was the sergeant's mess like? What did that offer you that you didn't have before?
Well... better conditions, of course. They had a bar which they took great pride in.
Were you drinking more by then?
I was drinking more by then, yeah, sure.
What was the drink of choice in the sergeant's mess? I mean, was it beer or was it whiskey or what?
It was rum and orange, curiously enough, as I recall. Sounds disgusting now, but there you are. That's what we used to drink.
What caused that? I mean, that isn't everywhere in the RAF, is it? Was that just out in Canada? Or
I guess I don't know, quite frankly, what the background of that was. But I distinctly remember drinking lots of rum and orange.
Pretty strong.
Yeah, I guess it was. But, I mean, we didn't drink when we were flying, of course, but... of an evening we would knock it back if we weren't flying on nights. It was a busy time because we were flying sometimes always two details a day, more or less, as I recall. They were 3-hour details, which so you got a different couple of navigators every time, or you sometimes carried three plus your wireless op. The trips were interesting in as much that you had to map read, of course, because you didn't want to get lost.
So they were practicing their navigation, but you'd keep a very much an eye on where you were.
You'd know where you were going, hopefully.
Although it wasn't your job to do, it was just a
Well, you were expected to bring them back safely. Put it that way. It was there was a elementary flying school as well there, I think. It was flying all weathers, and you know, snow, hail, or rain, or whatever. So it was you felt you were doing a job, an important job, and a lot of these lads, you know, were destined for the bomber force, I guess, which was in its infancy at that time.
Now, we mentioned before the search for various things. Are they proper searches, or are they practice searches? There's the search of, I can't read it, but Lake Ontario, there's two.
Yeah, well...
Has something happened, or was that...
Yeah, I mean, they'd be something there, I guess, if aircraft had disappeared. But we used to do also square searches and things, you know, for practice searches. The main thing was some of the aircraft had been winterized. In other words, they'd had sort of plywood or hardboard line fuselages, which...
Inside,
yeah, sure. Which made them a bit heavier and lowered the stalling speed a bit. Otherwise, you in those you sweated, of course. In the other ones, the unwinterized ones, you froze all the time. And so a lot of our energy was towards keeping warm, quite frankly. You know, you used to put Thermogene in their flying boots, and people would come back with icicles. You know, anybody had a moustache, I mean, that was hopeless. They would be dripping in ice, or, you know, they'd be completely frozen up. And the winters were tough there. It was a warmer part of Canada, but if you got the wind off the lake, Lake Ontario, it was bitterly cold. It really, you couldn't walk into it.
Now, any particular instance you remember, Chris? You seem to have been with them a long time.
Yeah, I was there till 43. There were a lot of incidents.
What do you remember of them? I mean, it's probably best to just pick them out, or you can look them up in your logbook, you know, whichever's easier for you.
Well, I probably not mentioned in my logbook, because they happened to other people.
What do you remember then?
We lost one bloke flying into the hills at Orangeville with his crew. Particular one of our six, he crashed, and we attended the we were pallbearers at the funeral, which is quite unusual for aircrew. For some reason or other, they thought we would do the job. I always remember it was thick snow at the time, and I particularly remember that I'd got some socks from Cherry Valley or some such name, some place in Ontario or Canada had sent me these socks, which were very heavy things, and they kept falling down. Which was embarrassing, carrying the coffin. This particular chappie had just got married to a local girl, and so she was there. And it was quite distressing, really. Especially as the vicar was anxious to get it all over because of the cold. There were various people got lost and landed in the States and that sort of thing. And we had one bloke towards the end of my time there who, he was a new pilot, I think. He hit the water down at Detroit, trying to go under the bridge.
For fun?
For fun, yeah.
Was that common, that sort of stunting?
Not to my knowledge, no. He's the only bloke that I know who did it. The others kept quiet, possibly. But
you never thought of it?
I never thought of it.
So what happened to him?
Well, he actually got back, but his propellers were bent at right angles, if you know what I mean. So how the thing kept going, I don't know. On one engine, you know. They were metal propellers, and they were bent back at right angles. So I looked at the aircraft later on and amazed that he got back, but there you are, he did. We were asked there, we were interviewed at one stage as to what sort of aircraft we would, what sort of flying we would like to do next, you know.
Because on this one, you are essentially a duty pilot, aren't you? That's your job. You're not in the training, you are a duty pilot.
A duty pilot, something else.
Ah, no.
A staff pilot.
A staff pilot. Sorry, yeah. Of course, yes.
Yeah.
So you're on the staff, and you're just taking up, day after day, taking up all these students.
6 hours a day. 6 hours a night.
A lot of flying.
6 hours a night, yeah, it was great.
Was it all at night?
No, they varied, but I did something like 75 hours night flying in a month, you know, which is sort of exceptional, I thought, in those days.
This is a massive experience of flying.
Oh, yeah.
Did it benefit you, do you think, or did you get bad habits? I mean,
well, you probably got some bad habits, but enormous benefits as well. In
what would you say they are?
Used to all sorts of weather. Flying in snow, of course. I force landed once at what is now Toronto International Airport. It was.
So, in essence, you could cope with the unexpected or bad conditions.
Oh yeah, and the unexpected happened all the time, sort of thing. engines failed and that sort of thing, and you had various pupils to cope with. You had your own wireless operator, as I say, who was invaluable, but. You used to carry a little radio receiver just in case you were thrown back on the, if everything else failed, this would enable you to tune into the radio ranges, which were covered Canada at that time.
What about the forced landing? Do you remember that in any way, Toronto? What happened there? Just as an example of how you...
Well, it was routine, really. I just had one engine giving trouble, and it was snowing, as I remember. And I just went in and landed there, and got put up for the night. And they wouldn't allow us to fly back next day because the weather was still bad, and. We went home by lorry or train or something.
And that was at Toronto?
That was Toronto.
Any other specific instance you recall? I know, I mean, it must be a blur across it's nearly 2 years, isn't it? It's a long time.
Oh, yeah. 20 years.
I mean 2 years you were there.
Yeah, we used to go bowling in the evenings. It was very pleasant, and they used to lay on concerts
By bowling, you mean 10 pin or?
10 pin, 10 pin bowling, yeah.
That must have been new to you.
That was completely new to me, yeah.
What do you think? Because that's very strong. I mean, they didn't have that at all in England, as far as I know.
No, no, they didn't have it at that time.
What do you think of it?
I thought it was great. And, all these rinks set up, and you just bowled down the alley. And, it was a social occasion as well. So it was very pleasant, I thought.
What else would you do, recreation-wise?
We used to drink, I suppose, in the mess. They had the odd concert. The Hamilton players used to come in and give a performance of a play or something like that. And we put on our own variety shows.
What were they like? I mean, did you take part?
No, I didn't take part. We had Jimmy Edwards there and his brother, who were absolutely hilarious.
What was he like? I mean, because he's quite famous in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, even.
He was famous on the radio, certainly on the television.
What was he like? Did you know him, or would you know him as a...
Well, I knew him as a performer, quite frankly. That's the only time I came in contact with him, watching him on the stage.
What was his act like?
Well, he and his brother used to do an act. I can't remember details of it, except that they wore RAF wings as moustaches, which I thought was quite amusing. They were good. They were pilot officers, so I didn't have a lot of direct contact with them. Didn't fly with them at all. But they were a good act.
And what were the rest of the acts like? Or were they good?
Well, they were varied, I'd say. Some were good, some were bad. But they, you know, they it passed the time, certainly.
Anything else about your time? You're out there for quite some time. I'm not quite sure. Just looking even as we speak.
Well, I
you're out there until, well, Hamilton, Ontario, it says April 43.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I came back in the Queen Mary, I think. The Queen Elizabeth.
So that's your journey back in April.
Yeah. I went to...
You seem to have gone to Moncton first.
Yeah, Moncton was the holding station.
And you were there 5 months.
Well, I was sick there. Yeah,
right. So, well, now let's talk first. Before we go on to that, then let's sketch the head. What happened with this talk about what kind of flying you wanted? I mean, because you've been on Anson's. Surely they just put you on bombers. You'd have thought, or was it in any way optional?
Well, they gave you the choice, allegedly. Put it that way, I think.
And what did you choose, and why?
I chose torpedo bombers because I'd always wanted to sink a battleship.
And were you put on that?
No.
So what were you put on?
Well, I came back and did another... I was sick for quite a long while.
Hang on, did you not know then? At the time, you just picked torpedo bombers. So
yeah.
As this was going through the next 3 months, you thought you were going to be put on torpedo bombers.
Well, I hoped I was.
You hoped.
Mm.
That was purely it. That, nothing other than you wanted to sink a battleship, and that was the only reason.
That's right, yeah. Mm.
Now, so what happened next then? You go to I'm not quite sure where you go to. You go to Moncton, don't you?
You go to Moncton. And we
now, what is it at Moncton? Because you're there 5 months with being ill.
Yeah, well...
PDC, what does that stand for?
Personnel? No, I don't know quite what it is.
It's a holding camp, then,
yeah,
isn't
it? Yeah, it was a holding camp.
Now, what
it
happened there?
It was a big camp. There's a lot of people there.
What was the setup like there?
Oh, well, I spent most of the time in hospital, quite frankly.
And what went wrong with you?
I had, ultimately, originally I had sore throat, and then it turned out to be strep throat, and then it turned out to be chicken pox. You know, the bloke in the next bed caught chicken pox, and it was in the middle of a epidemic, so that we were lined up in the car. We were sleeping in the corridors, quite frankly. Although we were in hospital, it was just so crowded. And after about 6 weeks, I developed, or whatever the incubation period is, I developed chicken pox, and then I went on to kidney problems. So all in all, I was pretty fed up by the time I got out, and they made a big fuss of me. I must admit, they used to send the chef along every day to discuss what I would like for lunch. But while I was in there, of course, my locker got raided, and I lost a camera and a watch and various things.
So basically, you just had one infection after another. It wasn't, it wasn't some single disease. It's one, no. And then a multiplicity spinning off.
Yeah,
it,
spinning off from, it, really. Yeah.
From being in hospital with exposed to infection. Mm. So you were just there. It looks like you're there for about 4 or 5 months. Anything else happened at it's Moncton?
I went on leave in the middle of all this. When I was discharged fit, I went on leave, and I went back to Winnipeg. I had a girl at the time, and of course I relapsed by the time I got back to I had another bout of it, and so I forget how long it was now, but it was bad enough. It wasn't as bad as the first time.
Anything else happened there? Was it basically for you just hospitalisation and leave? And
just hospitalisation and leave. And I met a new friend there who contacted me after the war, and he's still in contact. He's 80-odd now. So it's been going some time.
Now, what about the trip back? This is in September 1943. You come back on the Queen Elizabeth.
On the Queen Elizabeth, and that was 5 days... door-to-door sort of thing. It was packed with American troops. I had a hot bunk, in as much that I had it from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m., I think, and then somebody else slept in it from 5 p.m. to whatever, 5 a.m. to whatever.
So it's incredibly crowded then?
It was very crowded. I think there were 16 or 17,000 American troops on board, and they were all in the sort of bowels of the ship. And
what about the food? I mean, did the
food was fantastic. The food was absolutely fantastic. I mean, you only had two meals a day. I think it was 6 o'clock and 6 o'clock. But everything was provided,
I presume that was staggered as well, the
feeding. Oh, yeah, I take it was, yeah.
Now, how did you get on with the Americans? I mean, I know you've met the older Americans, that's unfortunately phrased. You'd met Americans before, but you're now exposed to them almost. How did you actually get on with the Americans as opposed to the Canadians?
Well, we used to play poker with them, and they all seemed to beat us at poker. But they were terribly ignorant.
In what way?
In as much they, I thought they were ignorant, in as much that they didn't seem to have a lot of education. They thought the Queen Elizabeth was built in America, of course, before it finished up. But they.
Did you find them arrogant? I don't wish to.
No. They were just ordinary blokes. Yeah, they varied. It's difficult to generalise on. Impossible to generalise on.
There's
them.
No antipathy, though.
No, not I was.
Either way.
No.
Now, where were you coming back to?
Only about the rates of pay.
Now, what was that? I've heard that before. They got more than you, I presume.
Oh, great! Yeah. Enormously amount more.
And did that niggle?
Well, it was understood at the time. I mean, we probably got more than the Russians did.
So what happened? You came back. Where did you pull into?
Southampton. No, it wasn't at that time. It was Liverpool, I think.
That sounds more likely on the Atlantic. Yeah. It doesn't say.
Yeah, I think it was Liverpool.
And so what happened next then?
We went to Harrogate, where the staff was all we were accommodated in a Majestic Hotel, I think it was.
Now it says PRC. What would that be? Or is it just a holding camp?
It was just a holding camp, yeah.
And what was happening there? Anything happening?
No, nothing much. All the staff were famous footballers or cricketers or what have you, you know. They obviously had a nice number, I thought.
Anybody in particular? Anyone you knew?
I knew of Sam Bartram. He was a Charlton goalkeeper at the time, quite famous. Robbins, the cricketer. And Jardine, I think.
Douglas Jardine.
Yeah, Douglas Jardine, who was in charge of the bodyline stuff, wasn't he? They were famous pre-war. No.
And what was their role? I mean, were they actually on sort of PT training, or were they just part of the woodwork?
I think they were part of the woodwork, quite frankly.
And did you get leave? I mean, I would have expected.
I must have had a few days leave.
And how did you find? Did you find things had changed when you went back to Kingsbury? You know,
everything looked small. Everything looked terribly small. The houses, the railways, the motor cars. it was quite a shock in many ways after a couple of years in Canada, of course, where the railways are huge, and see these little tiny dinky trucks going along.
Was it nice to be back? I mean, how do you fit back into the family? I mean, it's quite difficult coming back to, 2 years?
Oh, I had no difficulty there. As I'd bought the snag was I packed my gear with goodies, you know. I had about £5 of sugar in the backpack, I think, apart from everything else. And we all had double kit bags, and then they sewed two kit bags together so that it was packed with stuff and clothes and that sort of thing, you know. Buttons. I've still got some of the buttons.
You're bringing lots of presents for everyone.
Yeah, I was hoped to find the silk stockings and that sort of thing. And
things. How about the effects of war? I mean, what about morale and the bombing and things like that when you got home?
Well, my everything seemed okay as far as that was concerned. The morale seemed to be quite high, in as much that my mother was involved in putting out fire bombs, and she'd had training for that, and I guess the rest of the
was rationing, biting more. I mean,
oh yeah, rationing was I mean, we were okay in the forces, I guess, and you could go to a British restaurant and have snook or some weird fish or other, and whale meat and that sort of thing. But but there was a great shortage of good food in the towns, I think.
Did you visit your work at all?
I think I did go and see them, yeah. And it was a later date, I think, I went to see them, yeah.